We want to turn to the gospel reading this morning, which is found in John, the 20th chapter, verses 1 and following, and it's the story of Easter morning. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they put him." So Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in and saw the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying, and as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb. And there she saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They've taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they've put him." At this she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. And he asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you put him, and I will get him." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to tell my brothers, and tell them I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told him all the things that he had told her. Well, the Easter story is a fantastic story, and we continue with the series on a purpose-driven life. And first, I want to get started with something a little humorous. I heard about this Sunday school teacher who in Sunday school class asked this little boy what Easter was all about, and he smiled and said, "Well, it's when Jesus came and was crucified, died, and buried," and the Sunday school teacher just beamed with joy. They knew what was going on, and then he continued, "And after 3 days, the Easter Bunny came out of his hole, saw a shadow, and went back in for another 6 weeks until spring." Well, at least he was trying, you know. Tamara was so spot on, and I love this journey to Easter with Tamara. But like she said, you know, the Easter message is the message that changes all other messages. The Easter news is the news that changes everything else in life and turns the darkest moments into hope. And sometimes we just take that Easter message for granted. And this morning I want to think about this fresh. This, of course, is the second part. The first part of the sermon was at the earlier service. You wasn't there. You can listen on the podcast. But just to recap for a moment, we talked for a moment how that when Mary went to the tomb that first morning, of course, it was still dark. The sun hadn't risen yet. And she didn't go because she had hope of the resurrection. She went despondent and despairing, weeping, and she probably went really more for devotion and duty, not for hope and peace. But she went. She probably went to put flowers there and to put perfume there, but she was driven there, and she wept on the way. And I mentioned how that sometimes in our own life, you know, when our lives are crowded with despair and we have tears in our eyes and disappointed and even doubts in our life, that to at least do what Mary did, which is to walk towards Jesus, not away. And sometimes that makes all the difference, because when we find that we do, we'll find that Jesus is there to meet us, maybe in a way that we didn't ever realize that, and so that's what she did. And when she got there, she couldn't believe it. This huge stone was rolled away from the tomb, and it had to be rolled uphill, we know, from the records and even from what archaeological evidence today, and so it would have been an immense job. And so she was awestruck by that, and she didn't know what else to do. So, of course, she went and she shared the news of that with Peter and John, and Peter and John came running, and, of course, they're guys, so they're racing, you know. And John beat out Peter on the way to the tomb, but Peter, bold and impetuous as he is, just went right past John into the tomb, and there he saw the linens and the headcloth lying there, and he's amazed. And I mentioned how this morning that the word for saw is unusual, that's used there in the Greek, and it's not the usual word that's used for saw, and it really it's thereo, which means we get theory from. And so Peter is trying to put together the pieces, remembering maybe the things that Jesus said, and all of a sudden maybe the promises are coming back, but it's a different way. He's really engaged mentally in that and putting it together. And sometimes, you know, you and I, we have to struggle with our doubts. We all have some doubts in life, but the hope of the resurrection changes everything. And John says that he again came in, and then he saw and believed. And the word for saw there is unusual as well, and it's the word that we get epistemology from. In other words, if you're a philosopher, the science of knowing and knowing how that we know and that we do know. And so John is seeing in a whole new way with a kind of assurance that's life-changing. They both had their lives changed in a powerful way. And so they went back to tell and share the good news. And you know, you and I, sometimes we don't have all the answers, but you and I can share the good news. We can share the news that Christ rose from the dead and changed everything. And so they're on the way back. And then there's this beautiful moment. Mary is still overwhelmed, and she is there, and she's still in tears, and she's still crying, and she's still putting things together. And in our own life, you know, sometimes we need to embrace the place of our tears and our sorrow and our sadness. And when we do, we find that God is there to transform that moment, and nothing transforms the moment like the resurrection. And so she's there, and she's weeping, and she looks inside the tomb again, maybe to see that it is in fact empty. And she couldn't believe her heart and her mind. And she sees two angels, one at where Jesus' head had been, one where Jesus' feet had been. And they say to her, "Woman, why are you crying?" And she said, "They've taken my Lord away, and I don't know where they've taken him." And then at this point, she turns around, and maybe the sun is just coming up, and she's somewhat blinded by that. Or maybe Jesus is still a distant away, and he's in his resurrected form, and it just she's overwhelmed with grief. But she thought he was the gardener, and so she says, he said, "Woman, why are you crying, and who is it that you're looking for?" Notice the tenderness of Jesus. You know, not the kind of a Hollywood show kind of a person. He asks her where she is and why she's crying and what it is that's breaking her heart and who she's looking for. And she again said, "I'm looking for Jesus. If you know where they put him, they've carried him away, please let me know so I can go and get him." And then Jesus tenderly, lovingly spoke her name, Mary. Isn't that beautiful that Jesus calls each of us by name? And sometimes it may not be exactly where Mary is, but in our sorrow and our sadness and our doubts and our griefs and our despair and everything that enshrouds our life that's difficult, Jesus speaks our name. And sometimes we have to just hear it in our heart, but when he does, we recognize him. And Mary says, "Rabboni," which means teacher, teacher. Then Jesus said, "Don't hold me back. I must go to the Father." Now, some translations say, "Don't touch me," but that's not really what the best translation is. The best translation is, "Don't hold me back." In other words, my mission isn't complete yet. I must ascend to the Father. I must bridge the gap between the sins and shortcomings of all humanity and the love and grace and justice of Almighty God. But when that mission is complete, there's something special. And he says, "Go tell my brothers that I'm sending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." What a beautiful thing to say. In other words, it isn't just me. It's me bridging the gap for you. My Father and your Father, my God and your God. I think those are words that we all need to hear wherever we are, that sometimes the gulf and chasm between this earth and the sufferings and difficulties and trials and doubts that we go through and Almighty God seem like a great chasm. But in the humanity of Christ and in the suffering of Christ, in the resurrection of Christ, all that is bridged in a way that changes everything in all of life. It transforms all of life, and it's a news that we need to share with others and not just hold to ourselves. And it's a news that we need to release into our lives so that it changes our life and transforms our doubts to faith and our sorrow to peace and our fear to courage, because it's the news that changes everything. And John wants us, I think, to know something special, because John, it seems, from looking at his writing, seems to be fairly well educated. But the first real news of the gospel goes to someone who we'd never think it would go to. It goes to Mary, Mary Magdalene, as a matter of fact. Now, of course, this was a patriarchal society. Jesus had disciples who were women that followed and even supported him. But it wasn't just a woman. It was Mary Magdalene, who had a troubled past. And she wasn't the best in society, but she'd become a disciple. And Jesus gives her the message, the first person to carry the message of the gospel, someone who we'd never expect to be. And she did. She's the one who carried the news again to the disciples that she had seen the risen Lord. And John wants us to know that sometimes the most unexpected people are the people that God uses the most. And sometimes we think, well, it's our tears and it's our doubts and all of our troubled past makes a difference, but it's then that the healing presence of Christ is more manifest and more powerful, that transforms our life. And we need to share that with others. And we may not have all the answers. I'm sure Mary didn't have all the answers. But she knew one thing. She knew that she'd seen the risen Lord. And the risen Lord had changed her life in a way that it would never be the same. And so God took the greatest tragedy of life and turned it into the greatest triumph. And you and our lives can be that way too. Our fears and our doubts and all the struggles we go through in life through Christ's love and Christ's resurrection and Christ speaking our name in great love and the promise of eternal life, my Father and your Father, my God and your God, can change our life, and that's the news that we should share with others. And so, as you think about the cross and the resurrection, it's not just an addendum to a good story. It's not all God, incredible truths spoken through Jesus for the parables, but the centerpiece is the cross and the resurrection. That's the centerpiece of faith. That's the centerpiece that transforms our life, because in the cross we see the price of redemption. In the cross we see the depth of God's love. And in the resurrection we see the power that transforms all of our life. There's a great story that I love, and one of my favorite writers of the 20th century is Alexander Solzhenitsyn. From a time during a very oppressive regime in the Soviet Union, when people were often thrown into gulags for very little reason, with very little hope of leaving, he was thrown into a Soviet gulag, and it was an incredible back-breaking labor, and so much so that he was experiencing starvation. He didn't know if he could go on, and he was young as his life, and he had all these dreams, and so he was shoveling salt on a salt mine, and he just gave up hope one day. His heart became so hardened, and he decided that what he would do was just to give up hope and to sit down on this bench, and that he knew that a Soviet guard would come up and beat him to death with his shovel or shoot him, but that was okay. And so he set down his shovel and he sat on this bench and he waited for the inevitable. As he sat waiting with his head down, waiting for the inevitable, all of a sudden he felt sort of a presence next to him, and he looked over and there was this older man, wrinkled with years, been in the gulag with him. The man didn't say anything. He just sat there for a moment, and then slowly he took a stick and drew in the sand a sign of the cross and sat there with him for a moment. And as Solzhenitsyn recounts it, as he looked at the sign of the cross, he realized that if God could change that tragedy into the greatest triumph of all times, then there's nothing that's impossible for God. That God could even take his moment in this gulag and his suffering and his difficulty and transform it into something incredible. And so the older man got up, didn't say a word, he just walked away. And Solzhenitsyn gathered the strength to get up. He spent more time in that gulag, but in that time in the gulag became the seed for some of the greatest works of justice and freedom and literature of the 20th century. And it was because of that moment, a person who found great faith in a time of incredible adversity. You and I will face some adversity in life, some difficulty, we'll wrestle with some doubts, we'll feel some suffering. But we can always know that in the cross of Christ, God has experienced every moment of suffering that we could ever go through. And in the resurrection, it transforms everything, not just forgiveness, but the ability to take the greatest tragedy and turn it into the greatest triumph. And so I challenge us today to think for a moment about the cross. It was a symbol of oppression and injustice and suffering and shame. And through Christ giving his life on that, became a symbol of forgiveness and love, and then through the power of the resurrection, transformed it from a symbol of tragedy to a symbol of triumph. And so also the stone that Mary saw had been a symbol of the impossible, and death became a symbol of life and hope and the resurrection of eternal life. And if we give our lives to Christ and look at the cross for hope, we'll find forgiveness and new life. Michael Faraday was one of the great Christian scientists and of the 20th century, and worked on some incredible things, and he was about ready to die. And so some journalists sought him out, and they knew that he was about to die. And so they knew that he had faith, and so they began to question him about his speculations about death. And this is what he said. He said, "Speculations? I know nothing about speculations. I'm resting on certainties. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and because he lives, I live also." The good news of the cross and resurrection is the news that transforms everything. And it's a news that can change and transform our life. But it's a news we shouldn't keep to ourselves. It's a news we should share with others. I'm going to close with this little message by Billy Graham, who writes this about the greatest message. And he says this, On the third day after Christ's death, the Bible says, "And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. As Mary looked into the tomb, she saw two angels in white sitting, one on the head and one on the feet, and where Jesus' body had been lain. Then one of the angels who was sitting over outside the tomb proclaimed the greatest message the world has ever known. He is not here, for he is risen." Those few words changed the history of the universe. Darkness and despair died. Hope and anticipation were born in the hearts of men and women. With these words of joy and new life, new dawn in our hearts of all who believe, don't leave the message of Jesus in the manger or on the cross or in the tomb. He is alive, and even now, he wants to walk beside you every day. Would you join me in prayer? Gracious Lord, sometimes we experience some incredible struggles in life. Not unlike Mary or Peter or John, but you wiped away the tears and you gave us a new hope. We know that you suffered anything that we could ever go through and even more on the cross because you loved us, because you wanted to die to offer us forgiveness and grace and new life. And through the hope of the resurrection, we know that you can overcome all things and turn even our tragedy into triumph because you did it on the cross. And so fill our hearts again this morning with the power of faith and hope and peace and love and joy found only in Christ who loves us and is alive forevermore, and we will live eternally, now and forever. Amen.